Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
They have this panther sound effect that is just the cheesiest, stupidest sounding thing. Big voice guy going, "Panther goal scored by Sam Reinhart."
Where'd you get that thing?
I trapped it. Been keeping it in my bathroom at the motel, feeding it old pizza.
It's Mike Shope.
If you're calm, that wondrous big cat will be calm too. But if you're scared, that beautiful death machine will do what God made it to do, namely, eat you with a smile on its face.
And the Bulldog. On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
You know, it's nice to be remembered for things.
Yes, sometimes.
I do think that this is now the leader in the clubhouse. For if anyone remembers me for anything, it's going to be that.
You want that?
Yeah,
really?
Sure. I mean, I guess. Better to be remembered for something than not be remembered at all. But right now, I think that's in the lead for me.
Okay.
Every time they score a goal at home, I get people like, "Dude, you're ruined. I can't. I think of you now. I think of you when the Florida Panthers score goals."
No offense. And this was a conversation my wife and I had this morning watching last night's highlights. It's the Panther. It's our Panther. Like, that's
yes.
What happened to the Panther? We have you now as the Panther.
I guess so.
And, you know, I feel a little bit sad, melancholy when it comes to that, because
I wish we used to have Panther. I wish we had thought to connect, like, really, Panther got drafted by the Florida Panthers, and that's why Panther isn't on our show anymore is because he went to Florida.
I see.
Or they.
Okay.
I don't know Panthers pronouns.
Scott Barrett with us. Hopefully he didn't hang up. West Her Hotline, Fantasy Points. Scott, how's life?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up? I want to say this as a preface to our conversation, and I mean this as a compliment, because I kind of think, like, one of the best traits you could have in fantasy or just in life, certainly in sports talk, is to know what you don't know. And I was listening to Scott's podcast, School of Scott, Theo Greminger, who's been on with us a lot. And that show introduced me to Max Toscana, who I didn't know of, but a guy who really knows his tight ends. He mentions Tyler Dunn, who we know well. And that was cool. And the conversation would flow. Different tight ends would come up. And Theo would then sort of turn to Scott and say, like, Max would say, like, chapter and verse on Dallas Goedert or something. And Theo would go to Scott, like, "Scott, what do you think?" He's like, "I'm just going to do whatever Max says." Like, listen to him.
I'm just going to tail that.
Yep. That's right. So I think that's a great trait. Certainly, you know a lot, and the Fantasy Points website is great. But I think it's good to know what you don't know.
Yeah, intellectual humility is really important. Charlie Munger, Warren Buffett would say they're the best investors of all time. It's not because they're the smartest people in the room, but it's because they know the edges of their own competency and they don't stray outside of that. And I think that's one of my greatest edges as a fantasy football ranker as well.
Very good. Well, why not start with Dalton Kincaid here then? We've certainly spent enough hours on him over the last couple of years. What do you see, Scott? I think there are a couple of problems, obvious ones maybe. Starting with, I don't know what his path is to put up a bigger season. They really haven't needed him for touchdowns, and the offense is so spread out. They run the ball great. But maybe you see a player there that can sort of overcome whatever obstacles. He is on the Bills. Overcome whatever obstacles there might be and put up, you know, bigger numbers and have a better career than what we've seen so far. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think Max sort of nailed it where I don't envision him ever living up to the round one draft capital that was spent on him. He's just, I mean, it's what's his pathway to more playing time? Dawson Knox is the better blocker, and then Khalil Shakir is the better slot receiver. So there's not really a great pathway for him. He's your wide receiver one when you go into two wide receiver sets. He has a 23% target share. No one else is above 13%. But I mean, you're only playing that about, you know, 12 personnel 21% of the time last year. And so the rest of the time, it's really Khalil Shakir is your slot receiver. So it's just tough to find a path for him. And he's kind of going the same way as Kyle Pitts, where it's like this was the dream. He could be, you know, he could be a slot wide receiver who can block. But it's just like I said, Dawson Knox is the better blocker. Khalil Shakir is the better receiver.
Right. It's not really a commentary on what his athletic profile is, right? Because he fits, just like you mentioned Pitts there. Nobody's accusing Kyle Pitts of not being a good athlete. And I don't know that I'm hearing much of that at all about Kincaid. It's more, yeah, how are they going to make it work? Maybe a guess from me would be he makes hay with the whatever opportunities he gets. And they start to realize, hey, you know, this should be something we should lean on more. But that flies in the face of Everybody Eats. And, like, that is, I mean, I don't know, it's not on billboards yet, but it's close to that level of folklore now here with the way last season went, using that mantra.
Yeah. I know when he drafted them, Bean said, you know, like, our goal is for us to live in 11.5 personnel, right? And it's just I just don't see that happening when, you know, Shakir kind of crowds him out. And, Knox is the better blocker.
Who do you like? I don't want to keep going downhill here, Scott, with, like, I know you've tweeted about Elijah Moore recently and, like, what there is to bank on here in Buffalo. The team's so good. Allen is so good. Are there receiver/tight ends? I mean, we've covered Kincaid, I guess, that you think maybe have a chance to pop?
Well, you're asking me about Elijah Moore, who's like my all-time darling, where I was so high on him coming out, and I doubled down the next year, and I doubled down the next year, and it just, you know, and it always made me look bad, and, you know, our you know, my followers, my subscribers, they're just like, enough already, give it up on Elijah Moore. And lo and behold, you know, for the fifth straight year, he's the star of OTAs, the star of training camp. You see all these highlights. Yeah, every beat writer is talking him up. And so, like, part of me wants to just be like, you know, this is the first time he's actually had a good quarterback. You know, it was Zach Wilson, a dusty Deshaun Watson, a dusty Joe Flacco, Mike White. And so, like, maybe this is finally the year. And, like, digging into the data, it's the same thing every year with Elijah Moore, where it's, he's one of the best separators in the NFL, but he sees uncatchable targets at one of the highest rates in the NFL, and his target per route run is maybe not as high as you'd expect for a player who's separating like crazy. And so is that just a bad quarterback play? Is that bad luck? Is that maybe he doesn't diagnose defense as well? Maybe he has a limited catch radius, which leads to the uncatchable targets. But, like, for me, it's the X-Files poster on the wall. It's, I want to believe, you know? And so Josh Allen, you know, he's done a lot more with a lot less. Best quarterback in football in my estimation. And I'm excited, man. And so, you know, maybe it's a similar thing where it's he's best in the slot and you have Khalil Shakir, who the last 2 years, ranking top five in EPA per target, top five in depth adjusted yards per target over expectation, top five in passer rating when target, like super efficient. And so maybe it's the same thing there, but I don't know, man. I'm just, against my better judgment, I'm a believer.
Love it.
Right.
Well, you know, we would love it from a fantasy standpoint, if not also from a real life standpoint here in Bills country, for one guy to be like the man. I mean, there's value to this idea, you know, just logically, sort of intuitively spreading the ball around, right? Less predictable that way and so on. But man, I love a team where like AJ Brown, right? I mean, here's third down. This is what we're going to do and good luck. And so the Bills have thrived post Diggs. It's only 1 year without that. But I feel like Moore could be somebody where at least you get, I mean, what did I see, Scott, from your tweet? Wide receiver 98. at least you're getting paid off if he has a, you know, just a decent year when you're drafting him in the last round. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Right. Scott Barrett with us from Fantasy Points. On the Bills, at least one more. Thoughts on James Cook? He reported this week. We were surprised by that. Still seems to be considered likely that he'll be on the field for them. And that was made more likely this week. He's still, what is he, like early fourth in drafts off an 18 touchdown season? Is it, you know, is that good value for you, Cook?
Probably not for me. I kind of like maybe Ray Davis as a speculative play just because, you know, that 1 year Le'Veon Bell held out, which I know that's unlikely to ever happen again, but I had James Conner everywhere and yeah, he made me so much money. And last I heard was James Cook was seeking like, I don't know, 20 million or something. And
15.
Yeah. And that, which if I'm Buffalo, I'm absolutely not paying, but I mean, yeah, from a fantasy perspective, if he gets signed to a deal he's happy with, he had 16 rushing touchdowns last year, was one of the most efficient running backs in football. But I also don't think, you know, if he goes away, you really lose much going from James Cook to a Ray Davis.
You know, we were talking in here, maybe it was even off the air the other day, Mike and I, about, you know, teaming up, right, with, you know, quarterbacks and receivers. With Allen not having a go-to guy, is he immune to that because of the rushing? Like, or does it ding him at all that you don't have a receiver that you can team up with him and hopefully roll that way?
I feel like we're going away from that. I mean, like, look at the best quarterbacks in football. Lamar Jackson, like, he's never had a wide receiver one. Look at Patrick Mahomes post Tyreek Hill. And that's really kind of the Joe Brady offense. Like, we saw that even when he had Stephon Diggs in the second half of that season. Stephon Diggs just totally disappeared. Khalil Shakir had more receiving yards on, like, half as many targets. And, you know, it's your maybe a – extra dimension to the offense. It's tougher to game plan against, but it's, to me, it's really just like you have the best quarterback in football, and he's getting paid a lot of money. He's getting paid as though like he has to be Superman, but you know what? He is Superman. So I wouldn't worry too much about the need to have a wide receiver one. I think it certainly helps, but yeah, I mean, Josh Allen won MVP last year without Stephon Diggs, without a wide receiver one, and his supporting cast is only better this year.
With Scott Barrett, in terms of drafting, Allen is easy to play with because you get him mid to late third, and then you can draft anybody you want after him on this team. You can draft three of these guys, any of them that you like, whatever. Elijah Moore at the end, whatever. You can do anything you want. Burrow is the opposite, where Jamar Chase goes 101 and T. Higgins goes 2-3 turn, and then you get to 4-5, and maybe you just sort of like boxed into Burrow, or he's very tough to draft without either of those receivers, I would say. Chase Brown, too, he also goes, you know, early third round. I heard you talking on a recent podcast of yours, Scott, about Burrow and the Bengals, and I think if I have it right, the general point was, why couldn't they just have the same season again?
Yeah, so this is like for best ball leagues where it makes sense to stack in like a redraft start sit might not make sense right. to stack drafting Burrow and his receivers because it's just too much week-to-week volatility. But, yeah, you look at what happened last year is in losses, Ja'Marr Chase averaged 27 fantasy points per game, like 7 points more than anyone else. T. Higgins, his fantasy points per game was behind only Ja'Marr Chase. And then from week 9 on, Burrow was the QB1 in fantasy points per game. And then there's no Trey Henderson is in the midst of a holdout. They've lost key pieces on defense. Like, I don't see why we can't just see the exact same thing happening where they just, you know, it's the winner of fantasy football drafts, leagues, the trophy is just whoever had the most exposure to the Bengals. Yeah, and I didn't even break up Chase Brown, who in the, you know, after that Zach Moss injury was getting Christian McCaffrey-like volume. So, hey, man, there's just a it's maybe Buffalo's pie is larger or at least comparable, but it's a way more condensed offense where for fantasy, yeah, I'm way more excited about Cincinnati's offense just because, again, that the pie, it's the slices are bigger.
Mm-hmm. On the same show, The School of Scott, you were talking about Caleb Williams, and I've heard this from a few analysts. Denny Carter comes to mind, too, where they're sort of just like, I feel like Denny Scott is always sort of knocking on my door and I open it and it's Denny Carter saying Caleb Williams isn't good. It's just, I feel like, you know, look at the line stats. Yesterday, Bulldog, what do we have? The Bears averaged 10 yards on their opening drive right. last year in games. Like, you know, you pointed out, Scott, recently, their line wasn't really that bad. And Williams is a rookie and there was, you know, coaching issues. It's a very interesting bet this year because of the prospect he was, Ben Johnson. It's a pretty good lift, though, isn't it, for Johnson? And there's a lot of talent around Williams. So, I don't know. Are you worried for him?
Well, I feel like I was the first one on the, guys, Caleb Williams is awful right now, trained. And, like, week 9, I tweeted this out, and I tweeted it again, and I got dragged. I got destroyed. And then I tweeted it out again in, like, week 16, and I went super viral. A bunch of radio shows picked it up. But it was – so one of the most sticky, predictive – stats we have and most important stats for quarterback play is avoiding sacks, and so pressure to sack ratio controls for offensive line play. It's one of the best stats we have. Over the last 4 years, the top 7 seasons by pressure to sack, 6 of them belong to Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes, and then all the way at the bottom is Caleb Williams. Awful stat to be on. The other one was accurate throw rate on balls 15 plus yards. Caleb Williams was the worst of any quarterback over the last 4 years, at least when I tweeted this out. And so, yeah, I got dragged, and I keep getting – we're, like, on the last episode of School of Scott, Bears fans were like, hey, Brady, I love you, but, like, you're an idiot if you don't think the Bears had a bottom 5 offensive line. And everything I'm looking at says that's not the case. It is a very middling offensive line. What was happening was Caleb Williams was holding the ball way too long. He was walking into sacks that were entirely his fault. And anything you want to do to control for the bad offensive line play, it still says Caleb Williams is awful. You look at last year, dropbacks with a clean pocket, no pressure, targeting a wide open receiver or targeting an open receiver by completion percentage over expectation, he was bottom 3. By catchable throw rate, he was bottom 3. By yards per attempt, he was bottom 3. Everything you want to look at, controlling for, it was awful, awful, awful. What the excuses you can make, I'm not saying it's over. Like, this is a guy who scouts were saying is the best quarterback since Andrew Luck. The excuses you're going to make here is awful play caller. Now you have the best. You also have this insanely good supporting cast. The offensive line on paper is top 10. You added Colston Loveland. You added Luther Burden. And it seems like more than just an impossible to fail situation, it's like an impossible to not be great situation, right? But yeah, bottom line is, yeah, he was terrible last year.
And all that said, then, are you optimistic that the coach will help him, or do you think maybe pump the brakes on him overall?
It's tough. Like I said, it's like the situation is so good, but I'm probably more pessimistic than most just given how awful this was. And like, yeah. our top film experts were saying that the sack issue was something that you saw on the college tape.
While we're there, we got a minute or two here, Scott. In that division, there's been a lot of chatter this week about J.J. McCarthy. And obviously it's a big change. Darnold had an incredible year there. Does Justin Jefferson, how much is he impacted by the quarterback change? Or does it not change at all because the coach is so good, you just think he'll figure it out with, I don't want to say any quarterback, but, you know, certainly a talented kid like McCarthy.
I think it doesn't matter at all, but it, you know, probably doesn't matter at all. I mean, just look at what happened 2 years ago. Kirk Cousins missed half the season. You had Nick Mullins, Josh Dobbs, Jaron Hall. Vikings led the league in passing yards. One of my biggest bets last year was Sam Darnold to lead the league in passing yards, passing touchdowns. Came close. He's top five at insane odds. I love J.J. McCarthy, and then I'm a big Kevin O'Connell guy, so I think they're going to be fine.
What a great bet. How close during the course of the season, I'm assuming you were tracking that, were you ever like, I mean, Burrow got there. Were you ever sort of thinking that you had a pretty good look at it, or just how close did you come with Darnold?
I don't know. I don't think I could have cashed out because it's illegal in my state, and I placed it when I was traveling. But I know the odds certainly moved up in my favor. Like those first 5 weeks, I think he was leading in passing touchdowns.
Pretty good. Are you on him this year, or is it just like completely different? I'm scared for him in Seattle.
I think it's actually a good fit for him. I'm a big Clint Kubiak guy, but I mean, he's not someone I'm ever drafting.
Right. I'm drafting Milroe. That might be insane. Okay. Bulldog kind of talked me into Milroe as a player. Like, you know, he was always pre-draft. He was always like, read what they say about him. Like, he's like the perfect leader type and student and everything. And, you know, the running. And I like the schedule for that. If Seattle does say they're like 5-8 or something, Scott, maybe they just do that and they can get out from Darnold after 1 year. So, I mean, it's last round. It's certainly not every draft, but I'm open to it.
Could be.
Fantasy points. What do we need to know? I think we have Theo coming on maybe next week. He's been on with us a lot, and he's a big part of your team there.
Yeah, that's right. Check out our podcast together, School of Scott. Check out all the articles we have dropping over at fantasypoints.com. And I appreciate you guys having me on.
Anytime, Scott. Thanks for your time. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too.
Wasn't sure if I wanted to say Father's Day or not, because I don't know if Scott's a dad, so I sort of stumbled there.
Yeah, right.
Have a good, you know, happy Father's Day. Sometimes you don't know.
Right.
I don't know enough about his life to know that.
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't know.
Could have been a question I asked in the green room.
Yeah.
But that's even awkward.
Yeah.
By the way, do you have kids?
Yeah, right.
Darnold finished fifth in the league last year in passing yards, Burrow number one, and in touchdowns he was also fifth. 803-0550 to join us. Want to talk about the Bills offense, any of the topics we've been on this week, perspective, expectations for 2025. Brian Koziol will join us on the U.S. Open in just over an hour. Lines open for you. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
To me, it's really just like you have the best quarterback in football, and he's getting paid a lot of money. He's getting paid as though like he has to be Superman, but you know what? He is Superman. I wouldn't worry too much about the need to have a wide receiver one. I think it certainly helps. I mean, Josh Allen won MVP last year without Stephon Diggs, without a wide receiver one, and his supporting cast is only better this year.
Scott Barrett on with us just before. Miss anything on WGR? Check it out on the Audacy app, AUDACY, including our chat with Scott. Golf is on in here again. I had a thought this morning about playing golf.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Golf. Is this this is not good. I'm not sure it's unhealthy. I don't play very much anymore and haven't for many years, but I used to play all the time and took it like kind of how you are now. Mm-hmm. Took it very seriously. How I shot was important to me. And now it is completely 0% important to me. I just want to enjoy it and not, you know, throw up, basically. But when I cared about my golf game, even then, even when I was at my best, I would have to admit that I'm hitting a second shot from the fairway or wherever, just basic, whatever, approach shot.
Yeah.
The closer I would get it to the hole, the more likely my first thought would be, I could miss that.
Yeah. Yep.
I think, you know, watching the Open, it's obviously... it cannot be that way for these guys. Like I would say 0% of these guys would think like that, hopefully. But like a good golfer, especially on a course like this where it's super hard, you get an approach shot. You have like a 15-foot birdie putt. Maybe like that's about the limit. Say about a 15-foot birdie putt. Your thinking might be, I can make that. Like that.
Right.
That's a green light.
I'm going to take a run at that. And yeah. Right.
I'm back in it.
Right.
Whatever kind of...
Uh-huh.
Most guys, I don't think...
I know exactly where you're going, and I am... Like, go ahead.
Most guys, I don't think, are thinking about, like, the score, the overall. You start trying to stay... Mm-hmm. That's what they would tell you. Trying to stay, like, shot by shot. But you get it up there on the green. You're 15 feet away or less. You're like, all right, here we go. And a good golfer, I can make that putt. A bad golfer, I can miss that putt. The closer I would get...
Right, right. Yeah. When I'm waiting to say 15 feet, I'm like, all right, I got a birdie putt. 6 feet, I'm like, oh, God.
Right.
If I miss this six-footer for birdie, I'm a clown.
That would look bad.
Like I'm just like, this is such a great opportunity. Like, what am I doing? Luckily for me, I don't get a lot of balls to within 6 feet, at least not from the fairway. From my 150 yards out, does not happen that often. You know, mostly my experience is I if I'm lucky enough to get that ball on the green, which, you know, might happen on average 4 out of 18 holes I play. I don't know, right? I'm walking and thinking, oh, and as I get closer, I thought that was a lot closer than that. I realized that was better than that. What am I doing here? You know, like I have that thought a lot, but I definitely, the more reasonable it is, the closer it is, the more it turns completely the opposite way. It goes from an opportunity to an accident waiting to happen in my head as I'm walking up to the green.
If I feel like a ball is really tight, I'll think, I hope they'll just give me that.
Right.
I hope I'm close enough where I don't have to actually putt it. I don't putt well at all anymore.
I am, you know, on that, I will, it, for birdies, for par, if there's a lag putt and it's gimme distance and the people I'm with say you're good, I'll take it. Almost no matter how close it is, if it's for birdie, I need to make the putt.
Yeah.
Like for me, because it's just not such a regular occurrence. Like if I were good enough where I got, you know, a birdie every round, say, or multiple ones, then it would be a little more ordinary. But it still feels to me like a special occasion if I'm going to have a birdie putt. So even if it's 3 feet, I'm going up there and I'm putting that in.
Yeah.
And I have missed them, you know, so I've cost myself on the scorecard when my group would have let me have it, but I feel like I want to make that putt, you know, like I just, I need to hear the sound of the ball in the hole, and like, I got a birdie.
Well, the sound of the ball, I mean, you would feel like you have to make it for it to count.
Right.
You know, and I get that. I mean, gimmies, of course, are not in the rules.
Right.
Unless you're playing match play, like a real match, then they're in the rules.
Right.
But in a real match, you don't get to choose. I mean, you can putt it if you want, but if your opponent gives you the putt, that's binding. That's it.
Right.
You can't refuse it, basically, in a real match. Like, pick it up. That means it's good.
We're done here.
That's the end of it.
Yeah.
But I see a lot of good shots in this U.S. Open and think to myself, I could totally miss that.
Oh, yeah. Even on greens that aren't as hard as these, I could easily, miss. I had the good fortune of playing a week before last at Lancaster Country Club. And I don't know, I asked Brian about this, I think, on Wednesday or yesterday, I don't remember which day. He was talking about the stemp reading for these greens, which is 14 plus or something. And I said, what would it be at a place like that? And he didn't have exact numbers for me, but I watching Justin Thomas today, I don't know if you saw his wreckage. He early today, one of the first highlights I saw was Thomas. He had they didn't show, at least the clip that I saw cut up on social media, didn't show the birdie putt, but I read that he had like a 22-foot birdie putt and left it, where he left it, I don't know if he left it short or long or whatever, but he had maybe 5 or 6 feet or even less coming back for the par. Missed it, like it lipped out and went about as far away the other way, and then he missed that putt, and he ended up he four putted for double, and that I didn't get it. I don't remember now. I four putted one hole at Lancaster, and I felt good seeing Justin Thomas have that because I felt like an idiot, and it wasn't even like. I knew what the greens were. It was like the 12th hole we played or something. And I knew they were really fast, and I still just botched it so badly that I four-putted. I was like, come on. What am I doing here? But the pros are doing it. That's how hard this place is.
I think I heard that the course designer more than 100 years ago said, I think it was the second hole they were talking about, if you set the ball down at the top of the green, the back of the green on the second hole, and it doesn't roll off the front, the grass is too long. Like, we wanted to have the ball like roll all the way through from back to front on the second green, or else we needed to make it the green faster. So that's some illustration of what they're dealing with.
Yeah.
803-0550 to call us. Here's Rick with us. Hi, Rick.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling us.
So, a couple different things. First thing, James Cook. Now, what do you guys think of if they don't pay him, what the other running backs in the room are going to think? Like, no matter what we do, we ain't going to get our money from this team. How could that, you know, maybe affect the whole group as a whole? And then, second thing, I heard you guys talking about, like, Joshua Palmer and how good you guys think he's going to be. But Herbert was no slouch, right? And he was a number three receiver on that team. I get that. But when Mike Williams and Keenan Allen went down, he really didn't do much. So I just want to see what you guys think.
When did you hear us talking up Josh Palmer? because I'm not sure that there was a day this week where I talked about maybe the Bills are hoping he can help unlock Kincaid because he separates, but I don't think either of us are super bullish
on Palmer as a whole. I was saying more like I heard you guys talking about like Herbert and like how he ain't really that great.
Oh, okay. I got you. Yeah. That definitely happened this week.
I would not say he's not great, but, you know, close enough, I guess. I don't think at all about, like, the running back question, I just don't think is relevant at all. Like, players know how it works, whether it's a certain position or a certain franchise or anything like that. I mean, I just, if it's meant to wonder whether guys wouldn't play as well as they could because they would feel like the team doesn't believe in them, doesn't want to make a commitment, I just wouldn't even, I don't care. Like, that's not something that would ever cross my mind. Receivers, I mean, we talk about it literally every day, don't we? What they have. I think Palmer's okay. I accept Palmer as a certain fit, like the kind of player he is said to be and what they lacked. Separation, down the field, okay. Like, I think he makes sense for what they didn't have. But I don't know what the ceiling is. I mean, I don't think it's a guy where you get, you know, like big weeks, maybe a couple over the course of the season. But I doubt it's big touchdowns. I doubt it's, you know, I doubt it's 100 targets, you know, Palmer.
Yeah.
So, I think he made sense. But he's the one. Because when Brandon Bean flipped out about his wide receiver commitment being scrutinized, and, you know, carrying forth a few days later when he talked to Tyler Dunn, you know, he almost sounds like he's pounding the table. What do you mean? I signed Joshua Palmer.
Right.
And like, okay, we know. The people who are criticizing you for what you haven't done at that position know. They've already included, they've already processed that you've signed Joshua Palmer. You just think it's a bigger deal than we do.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely how that came off to me. I've said all along, like, Palmer, sure, it's a commitment, but it's like, you know, very middle class receiver contract. You know, they went and got some kingpin guy. The kingpin guys cost you twice what they paid for Palmer. So to hold that up as that kind of an example, just didn't really fit to me, like, as proof of like, look, I did this thing. You know, okay, we'll see how it shakes out. I was maybe harder on Herbert than you wanted to be or are, because what I was talking about with him, and it really was not any kind of a reflection on Palmer. I wasn't thinking about Herbert in a context of like, why didn't Palmer perform better with the Chargers? It was mostly just sort of course correcting on what, you know, where he rates in the league. I think I hurried him to the elite tier. And he's definitely not there. He's good. He's better than average. But I don't think he's – I'm done waiting for him to graduate to the next level. I guess it could still happen. But with the coordinator he's got and the style of game that the Chargers seem to want to play, I don't know that we'll ever really see it. That doesn't mean they won't win and he won't get some credit for it. But I don't know. I'm just not nuts about him as, you know – I thought he'd get to Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Jackson, Herbert, and that to me is way off.
Well, I don't know. He's still pretty young, and his coach is a winner who will want to do it using him not as necessarily the focal point of their offense. So if they play more conservatively and win a lot of games, you know, he might seem great. I don't mm-hmm. know. What my frustration so far with Justin Herbert has been more like pre-Harbaugh, that it just seemed at times when they needed him to push, he didn't want to. And instead threw short, and he didn't want to let it out. And that's just, you know, one person's opinion. I think he's good, but like with any quarterback, they need to win more for him to probably earn a better reputation mm-hmm. than that. We'll take a break. Brian Koziol coming up at 5:30. Thanks for the call, Rick. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog, WGR. Welcome back. We will be talking to Brian Koziol about the Open next hour. It's become a Friday tradition as well. Reverse AFC power rankings, maybe. What do you think? Good?
Oh, yeah.
It's a good sound.
It surprises me every time you bring it up on a Friday.
Yeah, it's not routine yet. Sneaky Joe was just texting me about Max Scherzer pitching for the Bisons tonight. Very cool. So far, so good with the weather. And he is looking up. There's another one. Okay, good. He's looking up Cy Young Award winners to have ever pitched for the Bisons. And I'm trying to brainstorm with him here. He's got five. Scherzer would be at least the sixth. This is, of course, something where you could just ask the Bisons. They should be able to tell you in 5 seconds.
What fun is that?
Right? Like, if you get you get the news that Scherzer's pitching for the Bisons, like, the first thing you're doing is looking up, mm-hmm. like, kind of where he stacks on a list of all the pitchers who've ever pitched for the Bisons, the accomplishments of his career. Multi-time Cy Young Award winner. But we've got five. The Cleveland years. How those guys kind of almost all of them came through Buffalo 20 years ago.
Yeah.
En route to the big club in Cleveland. Sabathia, Cliff Lee.
Thank you. I'm over here like Bartolo Colon is the only one I can remember. And I don't think he won the Cy Young.
He absolutely did. So he's one of them too.
Wow.
It's Colon,
all right.
Sabathia, and Lee. From the Cleveland years, R.A. Dickey.
All right.
I think would have pitched here when the Bisons were tied to the Mets.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I don't know. He might have pitched a lot in the minor leagues. I don't know. Like, that was just sort of a shocking late career resurgence or just surgence.
Right. It was a surgence.
I don't know if there was a re.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
And Fergie Jenkins, Joe just found, who pitched for the Bisons in 1962. I don't know much about the Bisons in those years. Like, my first baseball game was at War Memorial Stadium to see the Bisons in probably 78, 79. And they were just back. The Bisons had been non-existent for a number of years before that, but they were a Pirates affiliate in the Eastern League. remember seeing Luis Salazar and Tony Pena.
Tony Pena with that cool... He was the first catcher I remember doing that, having a different stance, the squatting, like one knee down, right leg or left leg out.
Behind the plate.
Behind the plate,
yes.
Yeah, as the catcher. Yeah, he had a very unique, and I don't know if that he originated that or if he's credited with originating it, but it was the first time I saw someone doing that.
Santiago, maybe?
I think Pena's before him.
Is
though.
He?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
He's older, that's right. Okay, good. Imagine a batter with his knee down.
is that what you thought? Yeah, that would be weird. Yeah,
like a batting stance.
I needed to clarify. I was talking about when he's actually playing his position. Yeah.
Fergie Jenkins apparently pitched one game for the Bisons in 1962, Joe says. Joe's doing the – or two. So let's just leave it for a minute and
he
see.
He pitched for the Bisons. That's all.
He was 1-1 with the Bisons.
Yeah.
Warren Spahn pitched at – I almost said Warren Sharp. Warren Spahn pitched at South Park, but not ever for the Bisons.
Right.
So – he won the Cy Young Award. The Cy Young Award only goes back to like the 50s. So you don't have to go all the way back to, you know, Connie Mack's years.
Right.
To see.
When they were playing baseball with bars of soap wrapped up in socks.
And they traded gloves with the left fielders traded gloves. That could have been good yesterday. We were talking about things from the old days of sports that you can't believe are real.
Right.
You leave your glove in the field.
Leaving the glove out there and the guy from the other team playing your same position would just pick it up. It
wasn't
just they left it there and the other guy had his own glove.
No, they would share a glove.
They would share a glove,
I think.
All right.
Is what would happen.
Gloves were so scarce.
I guess so.
Hard to come by a glove.
JJ Spahn is again the solo leader at the US Open with the same -4 that he started the day with. He's on his back nine. Brian will join us later. Reverse AFC power rankings after sports. Happy Friday. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.